message tonight, buried alive, alive forevermore. I hope it's piqued your interest. I have read of bloody gangs in California and now filtering over into beautiful Phoenix who kill each other savagely. These gangs are identified by colors. By colors. A few years ago, we were going to take our family out west into Colorado to hike in the mountains. And I decided to buy me some hiking shoes. And I bought them, and they were very comfortable. And somebody saw them and said, "You can't wear those." I said, "Why?" He said, "Those are worn only by a certain gang. You wear them, they'll think you belong. Life might be in danger." They were BKs, British Knights. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. I knew nothing about that. Not only that, I wore my shoes too. Those who enjoy sports usually buy something that identifies them with their favorite team. I come from Washington, D.C., where the worst team of the year was, and yet people assiduously wore their burgundy and gold to identify with the Redskins. Out here, the Cardinals wear red. This idea of identifying, God's people also ought to be identified. Unbranded calves on the plains belong to anybody. But once they are branded, they bear the mark of the owner. And it means to everybody else, hands off. God's people are to be loyal to Him. And if they are loyal, everybody should know it. Obedience proves loyalty. The Bible says the Sabbath is a sign that I am the Lord your God that doth sanctify you. Sabbath is a sign that nothing worse than a Sabbath keeper who lies and commits adultery and does everything else he's big enough to do. He's giving confusing signs. But when our lives are surrendered to Him, Sabbath then is a sign. Now, beloved, there's another one. It is called an outward sign of an inward cleansing. I like that. An outward sign of an inward cleansing. What is this sign? Mark 16:16, the Bible says, "He that believeth and is baptized." Now, "and" is a coordinating conjunction. I learned this in grade school, connecting words and phrases of equal rank and importance. One is as important as the other. It says, "He that believeth." Is that important? Yeah. "And is baptized."
All right.
Believe and be baptized, and you shall be saved. The Bible says, baptism is the outward sign of an inward cleansing. And what a privilege it is. You know, you might have lived a shoddy life, and then you might give your heart to the Lord, and without some starting place, everybody will look back over your whole life and criticize you and discourage you, and you will never shake off your rotten reputation. But once you decide, I don't care what you've done, once you decide to follow Jesus and are baptized, even your critics will say, "We got no right to go back beyond baptism." Baptism gives you a starting place with God. An outward sign that something has happened to you on the inside. Now, beloved, it has to be based on belief. Belief in what? Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and teach." Do what? "Go ye into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." But teaching comes first. When I was a boy in another place, in another communion, you could have one sermon and come up and say, I give my heart to the Lord, and they baptize you right away. That isn't what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to teach somebody. You ought to know what you're being baptized into. Baptism then becomes the door to the truth, the door to the church. It has no meaning until somebody has been taught. And teaching comes first, decision comes next, and after that, God, as it were, puts His brand on you. You are baptized. God then stands in your defense. God says, you leave my children alone. Don't you go digging up the past. I have forgiven that and cast it into the depths of the sea. God says, if I am not digging it up, don't you dig it up. He's mine. She's mine. And my brand, baptism, is a sign that she or he, mine. Don't bother him. Oh, I love that. So baptism lets the world know. And I don't just mean the community. I mean in your own home. Many times you have to make your decision all by yourself. I have said, as a matter of fact, God doesn't save families, but He'll save a family one by one. Is that all right? You don't come in groups. Everybody has got to make a decision. And in some families, they don't make that decision. I'm the youngest, but I made my decision before my brother did. And there was a time he used to tease me. There was a time that he thought that maybe I was going off the deep end. Now he's off the deep end with me. In your own family, can't wait on your husband. I've had people say, now I want to do it, but I want to wait on my... How long are you going to wait? Suppose your husband goes to hell. You going with him? No, no. When God calls you, He wants you to do what He says. And if you do it, then you can become an agent to help win that husband or that son or that daughter. Sometimes your biggest problem is in your home. And if you've been a bad fella, they'll throw it up to you. Oh, don't be so high and mighty. Don't try to be holier than everybody else. After all, I know you. They don't know you. God knows you. Baptism is a starting place. I baptized a man over in Pennsylvania. That man was a common drunk, and he had a little job, and the boss would have to go on Monday mornings and visit nearly every tavern till he found him. And finally, that man got baptized, and he was changed. He is still changed. And let me tell you, he had been in the church a little while, and they had a meeting like this, and they asked him to pass out some handbills. And so he was going down the very street where he used to stagger, passing out handbills, and a bunch of them saw him. And they say, hey, come and look at this. Look at this. You won't believe this. And they embarrassed him, so he began to cry. And when he came home, I was there. And he, I don't know why he felt that way, but man, I said, listen, you ought to be thankful and justifiably proud through Jesus Christ. Let them talk. Who cares what they say? If you are faithful, it won't take long before they will eat their words. It won't take long before they'll know that God has laid His hand on you. It won't take long before they see you've been dragged out of the gutter. It won't take long. Baptism gives a starting place. Now, there are many counterfeits. Counterfeit Sabbath, counterfeit law, counterfeit marriage, counterfeit everything that God gave, counterfeit. And today, some use fire hoses, wet the people down. Some dip their fingers in the water and flick a few drops on you and call it baptism. Some will break down a little piece of pine branch with the needles and dip it and shake it and sprinkle. Some baptized with oil. Some baptized by sprinkling salt. Some baptized by wine being poured, and others by the laying on of hands. I guess that's called dry cleaning. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't ever want to belittle a man who is sincere, but at the same time, the teachers of this stuff are teaching innovations that are extra-biblical. They do not come out of God's Word. They do not come from Christ's example. Would you say amen out there?
Amen.
And we need to be clear on that. The word baptize comes from the Greek word baptizo, and it was used long before the Christian church started baptizing. It was used principally in the textile industry. You see, most of the clothes, the woolen ones, well, all of them were made of flax or wool. And when they got through, except for the black wool up in Laodicea, most of it was sort of an off-white. Now, it would be very monotonous to see everybody dressed in off-white. Man has been created to appreciate color. I believe God appreciates color. He's given us a variety in flowers. He's given us a variety of trees. He's given us a variety in people. God loves variety. And we have a natural appreciation for it. And so, the textile industry would have these large pieces of cloth. And they have these vats. Some were uncovered. I think it's in U.S. News and World Report or Newsweek. I can't remember. I just saw it recently. They've just found, archaeologists have found some of the dye vats of ancient times. And what they would do, they'd build a fire and they'd heat this dye. And then when they got it right, red or purple or blue or whatever, they would bring out this off-white cloth and they would put it in the hot dye. Then they'd take a stick and push it under. And in doing this, they use the word baptizo. I'm using a simple form of it, meaning I baptize this cloth. I put it under the dye. Suppose they only sprinkled it. Instead of getting a beautiful, even color, you'd have a miserable case of polka dots. The word baptize means to put under. The word baptize means to immerse. The word baptize means to plunge. And when the people went out into the wilderness to see a rough and ready preacher by the name of John the Baptist, he preached Christ and his coming. And then those who repented were taken in the river and baptized. And when they saw him do it, they remembered what they did to cloth. And they called him Baptizo, John the Baptizer. And one day Jesus went out there to be baptized. I'm going to ask my, because I got some things here to say. But we got them on the screen. I want you to follow. And I'm going to ask my projectionist to put it on and the lights to go down. And you can read these texts with me. And you can see what God intended when this ordinance was brought into the Christian church. Now, this John the Baptist. Oh my. One writer said when he preached, Satan feared for his kingdom. Oh, to preach like that. Truth with power. Devil's trembling. The people went out there. Let me tell you, the biggest church of all was nearby, but they left there and went out into the wilderness. Didn't even have a building. Went to hear the truth. There are some people who love the truth. Am I right? And they will go to hear the truth. And when they got out there and they said, we repent, we are ready to accept it. Then John took them in the river and baptized them. Baptized into the truth. And one day he looked and he saw someone coming. Actually his cousin, but he hadn't seen him before. 6 months apart in age. He had been talking about him. He said, someone is coming whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch. And when he looked and saw Christ coming, he stopped and he startled that crowd. He said, behold, that means look, here he comes, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. When Jesus got to the riverbank, he kept right on out into the water. And John was a little puzzled. Lord, what are you doing? He said, I want you to baptize me. But he said, you don't need baptism. And he didn't, because baptism represents the burial of sin. It represents what? And Jesus had never sinned. And John protested. But Jesus said, suffer it to be so. Force yourself. Go against your better judgment. Why? That I might fulfill all righteousness. What do you mean?
Number one, I'm going to set an example and a divine precedent so that all my people till the coming, second coming of Christ will know that baptism means to be immersed and plunged after you have given up the world and its sins. Secondly, I want to be baptized for folk who are not able to be baptized. Like who, Lord? Like that thief on the cross. He didn't get to be baptized. Jesus was hanging up there. He was hanging up there. And the grace of God reached him in the last moments of his life. And he cried, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus stopped dying long enough to answer that sinner's prayer. And Jesus didn't ask him, have you been to church lately? Jesus didn't ask him, have you been keeping the law? Jesus didn't ask him, how much money did you put in the offering? Man will not be saved by works, but by grace and by the righteousness of Christ. So Jesus said, I'm telling you today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Somebody might have heard him say that and say, Lord, how can it be? The Bible says you got to repent, believe, and be baptized. Now, he might believe and he might repent, but he's not being baptized. How can you do it? Jesus said, I'll give him credit for my baptism. I'm being baptized for him. I will impute my righteousness to cover his deficiency. Would somebody say amen out there? Amen. So Christ was baptized. But the Bible tells us something very important. The Bible says that when Jesus was through with his baptism, he was baptized. He went up straightway out of the water. Have you got that?
Amen.
Let me be brutally honest. You can't come up out of a silver cup. You cannot come up out of a beautiful bowl. You can't come up out of alabaster, which I saw in church after church in South America and in Egypt. You can't come up out of the water unless you go down into the water. And baptism means a burial. Oh, you'll see. You'll see, Jesus was baptized like that. Paul said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his what?
Yes.
Now you're going to see the symbolism. That's what it means. We are baptized into his death. Therefore, we are what?
Yes.
No. You're not sprinkled. You are what?
Yes.
What's the word one more time?
Yes.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Christ died and rose. Symbolically, we die to sin. And then we rise to walk in a new life. We die to the old habits. We rise to take on new habits. Like going to prayer meeting and testifying and witnessing. Would somebody say amen out there? Baptism represents a death. We are buried with him. And just as he was raised up by the power of God, we can be raised up by the power of God as new creatures in Christ Jesus. And the text is Romans 6, 3 and 4. Write it down. Look at it in your own Bible. Now the Bible tells me there was a deacon whose name was Philip, and he was going one way and God told him to go another. And he ran across the Ethiopian eunuch. By the way, this was the first Gentile convert, a black guy from Ethiopia. And as he was going along, he saw this man studying assiduously the scrolls. And Philip walked up to him and said, understandest what thou readest? And the man said, how can I understand unless somebody guide me? I need a teacher. God supplies teachers.
Amen.
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 With all the foolishness and the conning that's going on in the name of religion today, God has some who are teaching the truth. Well, how do you know who they are? Because they say so? No, because you check on them. Would you say amen?
Amen?
You read it in your own Bible. And the Holy Spirit bears witness that somebody is teaching the truth.
Amen.
They're not trying to milk the crowd for money. They're not trying to buy Rolex watches and limousines. They only want to deliver the truth so that somebody can go home when Jesus comes with the saints of God. And so he said, let me tell you what these scriptures mean. And when he had finished, they were riding along. And the Bible says, see, here is water. That's what that Ethiopian said.
He wasn't going to put it off. God is going to have a baptism in this city. If you don't say amen, I'll scream. God is going to have a baptism in the city, and as surely as you're born into this world, the devil is going to try you and try to get you to put it off and postpone. And you could be dead next year. Now, don't do it because you're scared. You got to do it because you love the Lord. Huh? That man said, look, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? We don't have to wait until a special day. Here is the water. Here I am. I believe. Baptize me. And the Bible says they went down, both of them, into the water. How many? The convert and the preacher, who was a deacon, went out into the water. Baptized him the same way John baptized Jesus, by burying him. One of the literalists said to me one day, if you believe that, then you got to take everybody to the Jordan River. Baptize them over there. This man wasn't baptized in the Jordan River. All you need is water for burial. Would you say amen?
Amen.
You don't bury everybody who dies in Jerusalem. You bury them wherever you can dig a hole. Wherever you find the water, baptize them into our Lord Jesus Christ. There is your text. And so Philip took the man out there and baptized him, plunged him, immersed him, put him under. Baptizo means to plunge, to dip, to immerse. That means put him under. That I got to remember my place here. Put him under the water. It is a burial, and he needs to understand that it's a burial. Somebody said to me, Pastor, is there some power in the water? No, no. Power is in the Holy Ghost. If you don't have that, you'll go down a devil and come up a wet devil. It's an outward sign of an inward cleansing. The inward cleansing has to take place first. But baptism means to dip, to plunge, to immerse. Now, for centuries, everybody was baptized the right way. Have you ever heard of the Leaning Tower of Pisa? My wife and I were there some years ago, 7 years ago, I believe. And actually, that tower was built as a church tower. And now it's leaning so far off perpendicular, they're predicting that one day soon it will fall. But when I was there, they let you climb it. And it's sort of an eerie feeling to go up on that thing and see that it's leaning like that. But it was a church cathedral, a church tower, and the cathedral is still there. And there's another tower on the other end. And when we were sightseeing and looking in that church, when we walked into that second tower, there was a great big round pool. It was almost big enough to be a swimming pool. And I said, what is that? They said, well, in the old days, they baptized like this. That's the way God said baptized. That was a Roman cathedral. Burial is what it's all about. Sprinkling, pouring, infusion. That's the new word that came in as a counterfeit. Using salt. All of these are innovations and have no basis. I said, no basis in Scripture. Now, there's another little ceremony that's so pretty. I stood in the Vatican and watched people line up 3 and 4 abreast as far as you could see the line, bearing their babies to be baptized in St. Peter's. And they had priests that were literally running to and fro. They would go over and touch the side of a coffin and come back and touch the baby and pronounce them baptized. I'm not making fun of sincerity, but I'm saying to you, that is not scriptural.
Amen.
Well, how do you know, Brooks? Because, number one, no precedent is found in Scripture. No instruction is found in Scripture. And not only that, Jesus said, before you baptize anybody, teach them. Huh? You teach them, then you baptize them, and you keep on teaching them. You shouldn't be baptized until you've made a decision on what you've been taught. And even then, you won't know everything. I was sitting up there with my projectionist today and learned something else. You don't ever know everything. But I tell you what, that which I know, I know. I don't go through life doubting and wondering as long as I got the book. Now, if it's not in the book, I'm confused. I'm not that smart, you see. But if it's in the book, I'm smart. Oh, yeah. Stand like like a rock when I get it out of the book. So you got to be taught, then you're ready for baptism. You don't know everything, but you keep on learning. The basics you know, and you believe, and you trust the Lord, and you love Him enough to obey His commandments, you are ready for baptism. And then you'll keep on learning for the rest of your life. So the Lord said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then there's that teaching a second time. Teach them what? Teaching them to observe what? Whatsoever I have what? And then he ends the chapter by saying, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. In the Greek it says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the consummation of the ages. When eternity and time run together in a cataclysmic wreckage, God says, I'll be with you until then. And then I'll take you home with me. Lo, I'm with you always, to the end of the world. Teach, baptize, teach. Keep learning. But don't baptize anybody who hasn't been taught. Now, we preach out here every night for 4 weeks, and we don't repeat ourselves. That is the same sermons. Somebody said, how can you folk do that? Oh, man, this is short. We used to go 10, 12, 15 weeks every night. You'll never get to it all. But let me tell you, you'll get the basics. You'll understand duty. You'll understand the righteousness of Jesus, your only hope and mine. Saved by the blood of the Lamb. Grace and not works. You will learn that if you love Him, you obey Him. When you come to that, you are ready to be baptized and then to continue learning. There is no commandment in the Bible for infant baptism, nor for the keeping of the first day of the week. That's by Amos Benny, Dr. Amos Benny, in Theological Compend, a Methodist volume. Well, I simply quoted him. I could give you many. It might not be necessary. Now, what do you do with babies then? In the church I belong to, we do what Jesus did. We hold them in our arms and dedicate them to the Lord. Many of them don't even know what's happening. But the parents are there, involved in the dedication and committing themselves to train the child, to set an example, to lead the child, to take the child to church, to sing the songs of Jesus. And children grow up like, thank God, my children grew up. Amen. Loving the Lord Jesus. Amen. And loving His Word. And we have a beautiful ceremony of dedication. But not baptism. Because it is not enjoined in Scripture. This comes from the New Catholic Encyclopedia. I want you to see these words, ladies and gentlemen. Volume 2, page 277. Immersion gradually gave way to infusion. That's that word. Though in the South, the custom of immersion or immersing children in the baptistries persisted long after the North had commenced infusion. Well, the church itself wasn't even together. Some did it this way, some did it that. Eventually, error took over completely. This comes from Cardinal Robert Poulos, 12th century, and he sounds just like St. Paul. Listen, he said, the immersion of the candidate represents the death of Christ. While he is under the water, the burial of Christ is being represented. When he comes out of the water, the resurrection is represented. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Now that was a Catholic bishop who understood it. This stuff is new. When I preached the Sabbath one time, somebody came up and said, well, why are you preaching something new? I said, new? You go all the way back to Adam and Eve. How much older do you want it? This Sunday stuff is new. Go ahead and say amen.
Amen.
All right. Martin Luther, who nailed his thesis to the door, spoke of words, talk and teeth and deep, all being synonymous. Deep, representing water, deep enough to carry out the ceremony as it ought to be carried out. On this account, as a symbol of death and resurrection, I could wish that such as are to be baptized should be completely immersed into water, said Martin Luther. You see, we don't even believe what the founders believed. Then there was John Wesley. What did he say? John Wesley, the great Methodist, one of my heroes, I went to London one night. It was after everything was closed. But I went and found a door open to his church. And I went in there. And when you go out back, he's buried back there. Adam Clark is buried at his feet. I have the greatest admiration for the memory of John Wesley. He said, I believe it is a duty to observe so far as I can to baptize by immersion. Methodists didn't start out sprinkling. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
And then there was John Calvin, out of whom came Presbyterianism and some of the other related religions. He said the very word baptize, however, signifies to immerse. And it is certain that immersion was the practice of the ancient church. Ladies and gentlemen, Westminster Assembly, this is interesting. In 1634, by 25 votes, they voted for sprinkling, 24 for immersion. That's how the Sabbath got out. The bishops voted it out and voted Sunday in. Who do men think they are? Baptism lost by one vote. Interesting. Nothing wrong with learning, is there? Cardinal Gibbons, one of the famous cardinals of New York, said these words. For several centuries after the establishment of Christianity, baptism was usually conferred by immersion, but since the 12th century, the practice of baptizing by infusion has prevailed in the Catholic Church, as this manner is attended with less inconvenience. Less what? Than baptism by immersion. That's what he taught. The cardinal of the church taught, we do it according to convenience. Says who? I heard somebody say, it's more convenient to stay home and not go to church. It's more convenient to crawl in bed and not pray. Huh? Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord calls upon us to worship Him. And when we love Him, we will disdain the inconvenience and do what He tells us to do. But the church said, it's not convenient to bother with the water and all that splashing around and drying the robes. So we went to infusion, touching with wet hands. And now, what will be our guide? What will sway the balance? What will determine in our minds what we ought to do? Will it be tradition, convenience, or the truth? Let me ask you, and you may answer as one. Which do you want? Tradition, convenience, or the truth?
Truth.
Thank God for that. Hallelujah is right. And so, baptism is an outward sign of an inward cleansing. And you need enough water to do it. But then, think of the blood. We must first be cleansed by the blood. We must first come to the cross. I've had people beg me to let me baptize them, but they say I got to keep on doing this. I want to be baptized, but I'm living with a man, and it's not convenient. No, no, no. I don't want members that badly. Did you all hear what I just said?
Amen.
Do you know what's wrong in my church? We got too many now. Some of those in there need to leave. I'm not just after numbers. But every soul, every single soul, no matter how lowly you might feel, no matter how guilty you might feel, every soul that decides for Jesus, I rejoice to baptize.
Amen.
Amen. Got to go to the blood, and then you go to the water. Born of the water and of the Spirit, the Bible teaches. Converted on the inside, water on the outside. It's not magic water. It's the same water in your drinking fountain. Same water you cook with. Same water from the city waterworks. The power is not in the water. The power is in the blood. The power is in the Holy Ghost. The power is in the Word. The power is in the indwelling Christ by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Then the blood is efficacious. And then the water has some meaning. And then we're on the right track. Ready to do God's will. And when you come out of that water, you rise to walk in newness of life. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. Don't go running to the water until you let Him in.
Amen.
Don't go running to the water until you say, yes, Lord, to His will. Don't go running to the water until you've made a decision based on what you have been taught out of the Bible. And once you've done that, then you're ready. Jesus said, if you let me in, I'll sup with you and you with me. Doesn't matter where you are. Baptism is the door to the church. Would somebody say amen? That's what it's all about. Repent and be baptized. Acts 2:38, that's the day of Pentecost. That's 50 days after the crucifixion. That's the day of Pentecost when Peter preached that mighty sermon and the other disciples were joining in preaching that sermon. The people were pricked in their hearts by the Holy Ghost and said, what shall we do? He said, repent. And he didn't say be baptized and then repent. Repent first. Ask God to forgive your sins. Turn over your life to Him and then be baptized and you will be saved, the Bible teaches. And I tell you, I want to be in God's kingdom with Him, don't you? And whatever He wants me to do, I'm willing to do. Aren't you? I want to go to heaven. You don't want to be down here. If you die, you want to come up in that first resurrection. On such the second death have no power. You want to come up when the trumpet sounds. Go home to be with Jesus in a land free from trouble, a land free from sin, a land free from sickness, a land free from heartache, a land free from devils. Not going to be any up there. No drunkards up there. The Bible says so. No sorcerers up there. No adulterers up there. No liars up there. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. And I want to go. Don't you? And I want you to listen to me very carefully. And I'm going to ask you tonight in the darkness. I can't even see you. But I'm going to ask you as you think. And you know by studying that you've been hearing the word of the Lord. I want to ask you, are you really willing to do God's will? Doesn't mean you're strong enough. It means you're willing. Amen. He's strong. He's pure. He is powerful. He is able to keep you. But you've got to be willing. You've heard the truth. You've even heard the truth about baptism. Are you willing to do what God says and not what man has taught? If so, stand on your feet with your heads bowed. Oh, Lord, my God. Our hearts are knit together now. We feel Thy presence near. You have visited us and You've shown us how it's possible to be buried with Christ in baptism. You've shown us how, my precious Lord, it's possible to be buried alive and then be alive forever. Now, Lord, You know how I've been praying about these very people, these wonderful people, these kind people who come here night after night to listen to the truth when there are other places to go. You have put it in their hearts to come. To hear, to desire, to will. They're not my people, Lord. They're Yours. And whatever their problem is, You can solve it. If they're going to have problems on the job, give them the faith to know that Your grace is sufficient. You'll never leave them nor forsake them. And even if their faith must be tested, You will never let Your people down. Oh, please, Lord. I'm asking You to speak to them in such a way that when they leave this place tonight, the Holy Ghost will whisper in their ears. May they not have rest until they say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Not yes, Brooks, or yes, Ortiz, but yes, Lord. I don't want to win anybody to me. I don't want their money. I don't want You, Lord. I don't want them to do anything but to serve You. And in Jesus' name, I'm asking You to do what I cannot do. If You want somebody to preach, I can do that. If You want somebody to sing, Walt can do that. If You want somebody to visit, the staff can do that. But we cannot save men. And I'm asking You, Lord, please, to be powerful. Powerful in their lives. And to do it tonight. There is someone who cares. He'll help you to behave. There is someone who cares And he is desperate to save. There is someone who cares. Go on to the watery grave. For that someone who cares is Jesus. There is someone who cares about those his Spirit wins. There is someone who cares. He will wash away all sins. There is someone who cares. He can pardon and he can cleanse. For that someone who cares is Jesus.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.